from Isaiah.
Verses 1 to 7. The servant of the Lord. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in his womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, "The Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and rise up, princes will see and bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Amen.
So as I said before, Christmas, as ever, has been and gone in a flash. We prepare, we wait, we rush, we stress, we shop, we fill our cupboards, we clean our houses. What's all that about? But we do, don't we? We clean our windows, we even clean our cookers, preparing them to be splashed to death on Christmas Day. But every year, that's what we do. But thank goodness, because we're Christians, we also talk about and celebrate the gift of Jesus. The words, not easy words, that we've just heard from Isaiah, talk about Jesus too, as they look to the future Redeemer. A Redeemer who would come with a mouth like a sharpened sword, being made into a polished arrow. Not a sword that's blunt and useless. Not an arrow that gets pushed away and forgotten in a corner somewhere. But a sword and an arrow that are ready for service, ready to be put to use, ready to fight God's battles against the powers of darkness, ready to conquer Satan and sin. In the short lifetime that Jesus had, God was his strength, so that although he met with all the discouragement imaginable, even though he suffered horrendously, Jesus did not fail, nor was he discouraged. He was a sharpened sword and a polished arrow, upheld and sustained by God, his Father. The passage from Isaiah goes on to say, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Jesus was chosen to bring the light, first to the people of Israel, the Jews, and then to the Gentiles. This was confirmed when Jesus was brought by Mary and Joseph to the temple to be consecrated, to be set apart for service to God. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon could now die in peace because he knew that the Messiah, the light, had come. It all comes together, doesn't it? God decided that the light had to come to sort humanity out. The prophets, all the way through the Old Testament, tell of the light that would come. And when he does come, he is recognized by some as the light. The light that would come for everybody. It was also God's will that Israel should be a light for the Gentiles, that through the Jews, salvation should be brought to the ends of the earth. The coming together of God's big plan. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus' words, called the Great Commission, confirm this when he says, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There are many, many words in the New Testament that speak about Jesus as the light and his people as his light. So we're going to hear some now.
From John 1, talking about the Word, John said, In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who is coming into the world.
From John 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
1 John 1, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
Matthew 5. Jesus teaches, You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord.
Things confirm that Jesus was the light. He came as the light and brought the light. He then, just like the Olympic torchbearers who carry the flame and pass it on, passed his light on to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and through the ages, that light has been passed on. And now it has come to us, causing us to become transported out of darkness into his wonderful light. But are we? Just as the sun gives light to everyone, so Jesus gives light to all. But there are some who may be blind and refuse to see the light. Have you opened your eyes to the light? Do you feel as though you are a person of the light? That power from Jesus through his Spirit is there for you, and also the power to bring light to other people. Is it a power that you are plugged into, or do you feel disconnected? Receiving the light is about accepting Jesus into your lives. When you do that, that's when the light will be connected and you will be able to shine for him, because you will have him in your heart. So in order for that to happen, Jesus needs to be the centre of our lives. So let us stand and sing. Jesus, be the centre, be my source, be my light. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So are we ready to be a light for Jesus? Perhaps you don't feel good enough to be God's light. The words from Isaiah spoke about Jesus being a sharpened sword and a polished arrow, ready for service, because he had God with him. God was his strength, his encourager. And God's Spirit can be just that for us too. Those words from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth were words to affirm and thank them, but also to encourage them to use the gifts that they had been given. His words should be an encouragement to us too, to take a step perhaps into something new, to even take a risk doing something that will bring the light of Jesus. So we're going to hear from a few people now about how they identify themselves with the light of Jesus. First Rachel, and then Brian, and then Sarah.
At Brownies this week on Wednesday, we sang a song. I've got a little guiding light, I'm going to let it shine. My light on a Wednesday night has now been shining for about 22 years. That's around 800 brownie meetings with several hundred girls. Over the years, we've been there for the girls who've lost a parent or grandparent, whose parents are divorcing, whose parents are seriously ill, those girls who are being bullied or having a hard time fitting in, girls who have been adopted or fostered. Equally, as sharing these times of bad news, they share with us their good news, welcoming new brothers or sisters, achievements at school and in their hobbies. They want to show us their new haircuts and lost teeth. We're a community, and mine and Helen's wish is that as the girls grow older and move on, they remember their times at Brownies and their leaders who had a special light to share.
Shine. I was thinking, at my age now, I'm getting a bit dim in more ways than one. But anyway, as part of outreach that I've been involved with in the local community of Anlaby Park, I'm one of the helpers at Coffee and Chat. The session's on Monday afternoon. We meet from 2 till 3:30 and have coffee or tea and cake. Round tables are out. You probably see them if you come on a Sunday night. And we have a good natter and sometimes a laugh, hopefully. We have over 30 in our books. Usually there's only about 20 turn up, but they are quite regular, and we could do with some more, in fact, as people move from their own homes to special places of residence. But I do think there is a need for these sessions. As part of my job as a pastoral visitor sometimes, I've gone into people's homes and they've said, "Oh, I'm glad you've come, Brian. I've not seen anybody and spoken to anybody all, and sometimes day, but often a week," you know, and I think, oh, how sad that, you know, we should muck in and go and see these lonely people and bring a bit of light, as it were. So with some folk living on their own, it is sometimes a dark time. And coffee and chat can brighten up their lives and lift their situation and bring joy into their lives. We have a rota of two people a week. I must mention my dearest Chris is supporting me on those sessions when I'm on. But we could always do with some more people to sort of spread the load a bit. So if you wanted to find more information about coffee and chat, do have a word with Chris or me or Brenda. We try to spread the light.
The team at Toddlers try to share the light and love of Jesus with families that attend each week through our words and our actions and being there for the families to support them and love them in the daily challenges that life throws us with small children, which we know very well. We're also able to share a Christian message story or a Bible story with the families each week in a circle time with lots of games and lots of fun. We're also looking to introduce a prayer tree to be able to support people that are on the edges of seeking God's help. So then we as a team can pray for them if they want that, but also as a church we can pray for them too. I'm also really excited about the role of the family outreach worker and the amazing ways he'll be able to enable us to be able to reach out to the families in our local community to share with them what we believe and the light and love of Jesus with them too, and praying that they also will be able to know the light and love of Jesus for themselves as well. Thank you.
Never see you as dim, Brian. So that's great, isn't it? Hearing about how people from here are sharing their light. And there are many other things that happen here too that show the light to others. Lunch Club, Action for Children, Christian Aid, pastoral work, Ignition Coffee, being a good neighbour, and many, many more things that happen here every week that are shining Jesus' light. So it's not as difficult as you might think. I'm sure that most of you can recognise something that you do that brings light in some way. And remember Jesus' words. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And to read you a story, it's called The Littlest Candle. Once upon a time, a little candle stood in a room filled with other candles. Most of them were much larger and much more beautiful than she was. Some were ornate, and some were rather simple, like herself. Some were white, some were blue, some were pink, some were green. She had no idea why she was there. And the other candles, well, they made her feel rather small and insignificant. When the sun went down and the room began to get dark, she noticed a large man walking toward her with a ball of fire on a stick. She suddenly realized that the man was going to set her on fire. "No, no," she cried. "Don't burn me, please." But she knew that she could not be heard and prepared for the pain that surely would follow. To her surprise, the room filled with light. She wondered where it came from, since the man had extinguished his fire stick. To her delight, she realized that the light came from herself. Then the man struck another fire stick and one by one lit the other candles in the room. Each one gave out the same light as she did. During the next few hours, she noticed that slowly her wax began to flow. She became aware that she would soon die. With this realization came a sense of why she had been created. "Perhaps my purpose on earth is to give out light until I die," she mused. And that's exactly what she did. God created you and I to produce light in a dark world. Like that little candle, we can all produce the same amount of light, no matter how small we are or what colour we might be. But we can't produce light until we receive it from an outside source. That source is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. A light for others to follow.